Fasting for some of us at times has been more likely called a hunger strike. It's where you announce to God you're not eating until something happens. It doesn't earn brownie points. You know what it does? Fasting is where you are hungrier for something you can't see than what you can see. That's what it is. Jesus said this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. But he neither prayed nor fasted. We know Jesus fasted. The one time we know that he fasted was 40 days when at the beginning of his ministry. It's kind of at the initiation. But he didn't, I'm not saying it's wrong, but he didn't fast for a problem. He fasted into a lifestyle. So Jesus said, this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. Then neither prayed nor fasted and brought deliverance. What did Jesus identify as the problem in this story? Unbelief. Unbelief was the problem. What did the dad think the problem was? A demon. Yes? He wants the demon out of his son. What's the problem to the dad? The demon. What's the problem to Jesus? Unbelief. There are times where you face a situation that is bigger than your unbelief can handle. I'm going to dig a hole that I'll never crawl out of. I can feel it. There's a sucking sound into this hole. There are times where the measure of faith as compared to all the questions that you keep pondering and keep questioning, keep meditating on, that you keep fueling with the energy of your own soul is too big of a battle. When you actually have the faith of God himself, that when it's by itself is more than enough to move the mountain. But because you've allowed it to be planted with other competing things, you're in a war he didn't create for you. Prayer and fasting does not drive out demons. The devil doesn't get intimidated when I miss a meal. I think he finds it entertaining. It may be because I'm such a pitiful faster. I was fasting this week watching hunting shows where they cooked the food that they shot. I gravitate towards those kind. Leave me alone. Just be quiet. I don't think the devil is intimidated by my fasting. Is intimidated by my authority. And what happens in prayer and fasting is you discover who he is and you discover who you are. That's it. Let me rephrase it. Fasting for some of us at times has been more likely called a hunger strike. It's where you announce to God you're not eating until something happens. That's funny to me. That's funny that would ever cross our mind. That, all right, you want me to fast? I'm fasting until this happens. It's not like fasting. It doesn't earn brownie points. You know, it doesn't. It doesn't. You know what it does? Fasting is where you are hungrier for something you can't see than what you can see. That's what it is. What does faith operate in? If it operates in the unseen. What does unbelief operate in? It operates in what you can see. It's the wallowing child, foaming at the mouth. That's the challenge. The disciples, had they not been given a proper amount of authority to deal with that child? They had been. Jesus gave them all the authority needed to deal with any problem they faced. Did they deal with it? No. Why? Too many seeds in the garden. too much competing with what God had given them. They had the authority. It was diluted in its use to minister to this problem. Fasting is learning to have an appetite for things you can't see. And as abstract as that sounds, it is the life of faith. As abstract and as unreasonable as that appears, it is where I become anchored in what Paul said, what you can't see is eternal, what you can see is temporal. So if my confidence is in this, that I can see, my confidence will crash, it will fail, because this is not reliable. My own human strength, it's not reliable. It can't be on any of those things. It can't be on human talent or skill. It has to be on something that is outside of that, that brings influence. A miracle comes. I've watched it so many times where a miracle comes. It's hard to explain, but it's in the unseen, and I see a problem, and the miracle, just through faith, gets released into that situation, and I've watched it change before my eyes. I've seen it. I've seen it happen. I've seen where bones are missing, and they grow. I've seen bones that were deformed, and they dissolved. I've watched it. I've watched it where there's absolute 100% deafness, and all of a sudden, they hear. It was in the unseen, but it was released into the visible, into something that was inferior, in something that was damaged or destroyed or afflicted or whatever it might be. It's that connection of the believer between the unseen world and the visible world. And I come as a representative, and that's why we don't beg God for the miracle. He's already decided to do it. We're just learning to cooperate with the way he moves, the way he works, the way he thinks. I'm so thankful for the Lord's Prayer, that he taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The rest of the prayer, "Give us this day," is all petition prayer. But that those two statements can be translated like this. Will of God, be done. Kingdom of God, come. They are decrees. It's a part of the prayer life. The prayer life has woven into it the responsibility to take the heart and mind of God and proclaim it into a given situation. The worlds were made out of him speaking. That's why he wants us to talk. But talk as a yielded vessel to him. Because then it's not just good ideas being declared into a situation. It's not just positive, the power of positive thinking, which if that's all you have, don't lose it. You're depressing otherwise. Just felt good to say. I don't know why. So he says this kind only comes out with prayer and with fasting. Do you know what he's telling them? He's saying, listen, the way to deal with unbelief is put your attention on that which is eternal. There's something about prayer. I don't understand this, and I find that when I need this kind of praying the most is when I want to do it the least. And it's the prayer that is beyond words. It's the prayer that's beyond words. Sometimes it's praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. Sometimes it's literally just being engaged with the presence of God with a groaning that's too deep for words. There are no words for what I feel, but I'm not going to leave this engagement. I'm not going to leave this moment. It's a face-to-face moment. I'm not manipulating or controlling God. I simply want to be shaped by him. I want my heart to reflect his heart. I want my words to reflect his words. And there's these moments where he's just saying, listen, the problem isn't the demon. The problem is unbelief. And the antidote, learn to pray beyond convenience and be willing to skip a meal to anchor into what you can't see. Why? Because that's where your authority functions from. Typically, what gets done is creating all kinds of bad theology to explain why something didn't happen. Picture this today. If this were today, and we're the disciples, we try to get the child free. The child doesn't get free. And there's no Jesus in the flesh to bring deliverance. What do we do at the end of the day? Well, most places it's, well, God works in mysterious ways. We know that God is able to use this. I'm sure what he's doing is trying to really increase the level of devotion to Christ and the prayer effort of this household. Instead of saying, there's too many seeds planted in my garden. I've got too many options. I've got too many other things to think, too many other things to believe. Because according to Jesus' example on the size of faith, it doesn't take this big a faith to move something as large as a mountain. It just takes this kind of faith. So when Jesus talks about great faith, greater faith, I don't know that he's talking about greater in a sense of size. I think he's describing whether or not that faith is by itself. It's the only seed in the garden. It's the only seed in the garden. That's why it's great. Its impact, its significance, its mountain moving weightiness is not in its size. It's in its quality. It's in its ability to stand by itself. I've been actually, in my own personal prayer time, been asking the Lord, talking to the Lord about this thing of authority, because I became aware several months ago, maybe 6-8 months ago, maybe a little longer, that I was so much stronger in being able to move in power than I was to move in authority. And I don't mean to imply I don't move in authority. I feel like I do, but I could tell. If you could have power and authority, I got one leg that's a lot longer than the other one. And I want to be able to walk a way that represents him well in any situation. And some situations require power, but some power won't fix it. Sometimes. It's knowing who he is, knowing who you are, unashamedly taking your position and your posture and expelling that influence that is wreaking havoc on a household, on a city, on a situation. And I pray that in this next season, every one of us would see just personal breakthroughs, family breakthroughs, yes, corporate breakthroughs, where this, to me, it's a mystery. Maybe clear to you, but to me, it's a mystery. That this mystery would become clear, that there would be something more deeply rooted in who he made me to be that knows how to operate in both power and authority.